This is a paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to GovGreen, Sustainability in the Federal Government, sponsored by the Center for Environmental Innovation and Leadership on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be talking to representatives from the Environmental Protection Agency and the National Capital Planning Commission about the key components of sustainability plans, including implementation, monitoring, and challenges. Now, here's your host, Amy Morris.
And thanks for joining us. Our guests are Bill Dowd of the National Capital Planning Commission and Craig Hooks of the Environmental Protection Agency. And Mr. Hooks, I want to start with you. I want to get a little bit more about your background, your role at EPA. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, currently I'm the Assistant Administrator for the Office of Administration and Resources Management. What that means, the portfolio under my shops are the Human Resources Office, grants, contracts, but facilities management. So I'm responsible for all of the EPA facilities. We work very closely with GSA. But I've been with the agency since 1988. I'm actually a trained scientist, but I love the administrative work. It's kind of the backbone of the agency, so I'm definitely pleased to be where I am.
A trained scientist.
I am. Oceanography.
Well, I guess you're in the right place. And Mr. Dowd, tell me a bit about yourself, your background, and your role here.
I'm actually an engineer working with the National Capital Planning Commission, which is the federal government's central planning agency for the nation's capital. I direct our physical planning division that works with partner agencies to move forward some of the planning ideas of the commission and to improve our environment and our city for future generations.
And what we're talking about here today is Executive Order 13514. It's a great executive order number. It's easy to remember. And it's about sustainability within the federal government. If I could get each of you to talk a bit about what this executive order means, how voluminous it is, what is this going to require? And Mr. Hooks, let's start with you.
Well, this executive order is something that I really, really am very excited about. But it does pose several key challenges for federal agencies, but perhaps the most significant change is really reconfiguring how we measure performance within the agency, moving away from BTUs, really looking at how we reduce metric tons of greenhouse gases.
Measuring the performance.
Exactly. And that's going to be a real challenge. It's really going to require a new way of thinking for the federal agencies and how we do our business, how we acquire our products and our services, and how we plan and travel, how we get to work even. So it's really going to be a pretty far-reaching executive order for federal agencies.
Sounds like it's going to really touch a lot of different aspects of different agencies. Mr. Dowd, tell me a bit about how it might impact you and your region.
Right. Well, our agency is a small agency, and when we looked at the executive order, we didn't focus so much on quantifying our greenhouse gas emissions because we're only about 45 people. But we did look at the clauses that said strengthen the vitality and livability of the communities in which federal facilities are located. And that's a big part of what our agency does, is working with the federal agencies in Washington, D.C. to make sure that they're planning, designing, and operating efficient buildings. And it's not just energy-efficient buildings individually, but it's those communities and how they're developed and planned for.
Because the National Capital Planning Commission works with a lot of other agencies. There's a lot of collaboration there.
Right, we do. In fact, our commission is composed of federal and local representatives, and we have oversight over all development on federal land in Washington. It's basically in lieu of zoning approval, so any development on federal property comes to our commission for approval.
So you must have found this executive order fascinating.
We do, and we think it really reinforces the type of work that our commission has been looking to advance over the last several years anyway, so we're excited about it.
I understand, in addition, you're a fairly green organization.
We are. I think 95% of our employees bike, walk, or take transit to work.
Wow.
We have two drivers, and we're working on them. We're, as a small agency, yeah, we've taken a lot of in-house green-friendly actions to reduce our footprint, our carbon footprint.
Now, Craig Hooks at the Environmental Protection Agency, talk to me a bit about why this executive order is necessary. Or is it? Is this something that we have been waiting for?
Oh, I definitely think it's necessary. You know, one of the things that, you know, it's our mission, protect human health and the environment. we're constantly looking for different means and mechanisms to reduce our carbon footprint. You know, we're looking at our travel, trying to do less travel, more video conferencing. You know, we're a much larger agency than Bill's. We're 17,000 folks all across the country. So we have many opportunities for reducing our gases, whether it's how we commute to work, what kind of vendors that we use, the whole supply chain mechanism for all of our contracts and many of our grants throughout the agency. We're almost a $7.2 billion agency, so there's a lot of commercial streams that we can try to impact in addition to the agency employees and our buildings themselves.
So it sounds like what you're talking about is not just EPA, but the ripple effects that EPA has by nature of its relationship with other agencies.
Absolutely. And again, when I was talking earlier about some of the challenges, that's where this gets a little bit more difficult. Now, I think for some of our own buildings, we can measure our greenhouse gas reductions fairly easy. But when you start looking at our commuting patterns and our commuting practices for our agency employees and those that we do business with, that's where it gets to be a little bit more of a challenge, and we're working hard to trying to make significant gains in those areas.
It seems like EPA would definitely be striving to be the gold standard, to be the leader when it comes to sustainability within an agency, just by the nature of your perception within the rest of the general population, not just in the federal government, but everybody else too.
Absolutely. It's who we are.
You have an image to uphold.
Exactly. It's who we are. It's what we do. And every opportunity that we have, quite frankly, in terms of, you know, when we move to new buildings, we try to go to LEED certification. So we're constantly striving to push the envelope to be the federal government leader.
And Bill Dowd, we were talking a little bit about this before we went on the air. You're with the National Capital Planning Commission, so your role wouldn't necessarily need a sustainability officer, or would you? Tell me a bit about how a sustainability officer, and I'm using air quotes, mm-hmm. would work within the National Capital Planning Commission or not.
Right. Well, we have, as in accordance with the executive order, every agency will have a sustainability officer. So we do. It's our executive director, and we will complete the documentation and the paperwork, quantify our greenhouse gases, and talk about our plans for reducing them in the future.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have really firsthand experience what some of these larger agencies have is trying to quantify some of this information and data. But we do go through that same process, and as everyone else, we're figuring it out this year for the first time.
I think everybody else is, yeah, mm-hmm. and just as you said. And what about a sustainability officer for EPA and everybody else?
Well, I'm the sustainability officer at EPA, and one of the first things we do, particularly given the fact that we're so large, is try to get ourselves organized, quite frankly. But we have a lot of in-house agency technical expertise. So we've established an executive steering committee that really encompasses all the major programs within our office, within our agency, air, water, and all the media programs, and also the infrastructure aspects of the agency, the information office, the budget office, et cetera. But we also have a technical advisory group that advises us for all types of greenhouse reduction goals that we're trying to establish.
What's important, I think, to note about the sustainability officer is that's not your day job. That's in addition to what you are already doing. It's like, you know, you're a mild-mannered federal agent or a mild-mannered officer by day, and then at night you're super sustainability man. So how does that work? I mean, how do you fit all of these extra responsibilities into what it is you're already doing?
Well, I think for at least for EPA, again, it's part of what we do. It's part of the nature, the mission of our agency to start off with. The fact that we already have, I'm already in charge of facilities, we have a huge staff mm-hmm. that's already designed, that's been doing similar types of things like this before. Now, certainly the measuring aspects are going to be new, but again, we've had existing technical staff in the agency, and now it's just a matter of really getting ourselves organized to report on it in a much different way and push the envelope.
Similar for you, Mr. Dowd?
Yeah, again, from a different perspective, mm-hmm. but we do have a full-time planner on our staff who is dedicated to environmental issues. And so this has just been one additional duty we have folded into that job because, as I said before, it's really part of what we do as an agency anyway to try to move forward with these environmental initiatives and to coordinate the planning between these federal agencies.
Let's talk about that, because what I wanted to know is about what agencies really are going to have to do to meet this order. Can you help them with that?
Yeah, especially with the planning for their facilities and where they're located and the types of facilities that they move into. In Washington, D.C., we certainly can, whether they like it or not, in fact, because as the agency that has in lieu of zoning approval over all of their development decisions, we will sort of encourage them or force them into doing more environmentally friendly actions.
Especially in an area that's as old as D.C., as far back as it goes, it seems like every once in a while you might walk into a building and go, oh, there's no hope. But is there always some hope?
I think there's always hope, sure. And we're looking at it not just from individual buildings, because some of the historic buildings that we have, there might be only so much you can do. But there's a lot of other things you can do. You can create those districts that are have more vitality, more a mix of uses, so that you're not encouraging people to drive back and forth into those, where you have people who live and work and eat and do their shopping all in that same area. So there's a lot of planning perspectives or aspects of good environmental design.
All right. And what about with the EPA? What do agencies need to do? How can you help, or can you?
Well, I think we're all helping each other, quite frankly. This is all new for federal agencies. So one of the things that the sustainability, strategic sustainability officers are doing, we actually meet together on a regular basis. We exchange information, and we discuss the executive order. How are you implementing it? How are we going to implement it? So there's a lot of cross-fertilization of information that's flowing right now.
Mm-hmm.
That's helping all of us, quite frankly.
And I would think that cross-fertilization, that's a great way of putting it, the way you have to collaborate with each other, that more brains are better than just the one. So somebody might have an idea, or you might have an idea that would help.
Exactly. And we really are learning from each other. There's probably countless examples now where we're being called for our best ideas, and we're calling others for their best ideas as well. So there's a constant flow and exchange of information.
We definitely want to get into best practices after we come back from our break. And before we break, I want to talk with you about the challenges. Let's get into the heavy stuff before we get into the happy stuff. And with the challenges, each of you are going to have about a minute to talk about some of the biggest challenges that you've seen so far, what challenges you might be facing. Bill Dowd with the National Capital Planning Commission, we'll start with you. What are some of the big challenges that you've anticipated, and maybe some that have surprised you?
Right. I guess a couple of challenges that I would identify is, one, you alluded to it earlier, you have these historic buildings. It's tough to modify those. But the other aspect is the way the federal development has occurred here in Washington, where we have these large, single-use federal office buildings that are not sustainable. They don't have a mix of uses. They have parking left over from when you would park in the federal buildings. And they're just not good for the communities that they're in. And so we're working with them to make their facilities that they create in the future more sustainable.
That is hard. And Mr. Hooks of the EPA, Craig Hooks of the EPA.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenge for us really is changing behavior. And the way we do our business.
It's the way we think about it.
It's the way we think about it. You know, again, I mentioned earlier, we're a large agency, you know, over a million square feet of office space. And really, we're looking at, you know, changing our course. It really can be a challenge. You know, the federal government is large. It can take time to really do a major course correction, but that's probably the changing of behavior is probably our biggest challenge.
We are talking with Bill Dowd of the National Capital Planning Commission and Craig Hooks of the Environmental Protection Agency. And after this break, we are going to learn more about these challenges that agencies are facing as they work towards sustainability. You're listening to GovGreen, Sustainability in the Federal Government, sponsored by the Center for Environmental Innovation and Leadership on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
This interview is brought to you by the Center for Environmental Innovation and Leadership, an independent organization that facilitates information and education exchange among government and military professionals charged with implementing green initiatives. SEAL is proud to announce its first annual GovGreen Conference and Exposition, taking place November 9th and 10th in Washington, D.C. GovGreen offers education, networking, and hands-on learning about greening government operations and management, and an exhibit hall devoted to green products and solutions. GovGreen seminars are free to all credentialed government employees and military personnel. Learn more at ceileadership.org.
And welcome back to GovGreen, Sustainability in the Federal Government, sponsored by the Center for Environmental Innovation and Leadership on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Our guests are Craig Hooks of the EPA and Bill Dowd of the National Capital Planning Commission. And just before the break, we were talking about some of the challenges that agencies are facing, different agencies with different needs. And we were talking about all the space that EPA handles. You had mentioned a million. It's really in the millions, right?
It is. We do have millions of square footage.
Just which would illustrate quite the challenge.
Exactly.
Now, let's talk about some of the different challenges that you've seen. You both have mentioned a couple of them before the break, but let's go into it a little bit more in depth. I would think, particularly since both of you are heavily into collaboration, talking with other sustainability officers, other agencies, offices, organizations, that you have seen different agencies perhaps with different challenges. Do some agencies or some organizations have unique challenges that they're going to have to face with this new executive order? I'm going to ask Mr. Dowd of the National Capital Planning Commission first.
Right. Actually, what I'd like to talk about is an initiative we're working on with many agencies. From our perspective, they seem to have similar challenges from the planning perspective, is how do they improve or reduce their carbon footprint, reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. But we are looking at a corridor of the city to try to see if we can plan for an eco-district. It's relatively new term, but it's looking at a way that you can take in our case, it's about a 10 square block portion of the city mm-hmm. between the National Mall and the waterfront, Southwest waterfront, and looking at ways that combined planning with all of the agencies that are there, this is a federally dominated precinct, how can we reduce our greenhouse gases and minimize our stormwater runoff and water usage and energy usage as a group of buildings and not just an individual building.
Well, would that make it easier or more of a challenge working together like that?
You might think it would be a challenge,
yeah.
But all of the agencies that are working with us right now are very interested and very cooperative. We're working with the General Services Administration, the Department of Energy that's located there, the U.S. Postal Service, the Department of Agriculture, the Housing and Urban Development Headquarters. So they're all working with us together to see how we can cooperate and develop this plans for an eco-district.
Part of me thinks that sounds fantastic, and part of me thinks that has got to be like getting cats to march in a parade. How do you do that? Do you coordinate that yourself, or you work together?
Yeah, we work together. We have formed a task force, and each of these agencies are represented, and we're meeting every month or two, and our agency is staffing the work of this task force as we go forward. The goal is to develop plans that would of how that whole precinct could be redeveloped or managed in a better way that will collectively minimize our carbon footprint.
And what's the name of the plan again? What's the name of the collaboration?
Oh, gosh, we're coming up with good names now. So if you have any good ideas, please send them to us.
Okay.
It's right now the 10th Street Task Force, but we're also including the Maryland Avenue corridor in that, and we are looking at it from a couple of perspectives. One is, as I said, this eco-district, and the other is the redevelopment that came out of our framework plan that wanted to move people from the mall to the waterfront and blur those boundaries that exist today where we have federally dominated precincts around the National Mall that kind of divide the city from the monumental core instead of connect them.
Do you find that this is in such the early planning? It's in such an early planning stage that you don't really even have a name yet. So is it unfair for me to ask about a timeline for this? Because this is really interesting stuff.
Yeah, I think it would be unfair to ask for the timeline. We're working cooperatively, and I think we're making great progress, but we really don't have a specific timeline yet.
This is a baby project.
It's a big baby.
Okay. All right, fair enough. And let's talk a little bit more about challenges with the EPA. Craig Hooks with the Environmental Protection Agency, other challenges that come to mind and how you help those agencies meet those challenges.
Right. I think one of the unique challenges for EPA is really, our overall mission is protecting human health and the environment, but also regulating greenhouse gases
mm-hmm.
In terms of measurement and regulation. So I think we're in a unique position. I think people will scrutinize us perhaps a little bit more significantly. So I think we need to be in a leadership position, quite honestly. We're trying to be a role model for the other federal agencies. I think the administrator Jackson, has committed EPA to being a leader on sustainability issues. And so we take this responsibility very seriously. And I know I think it's a personal charge to me to keep abreast of our progress and keep the administrator well informed.
I would think that because you are with the EPA, because the EPA is as it is known throughout the country and the world, really, that in and of itself is a challenge. There's this mindset and this perception and this expectation that is on your shoulders that maybe other agencies wouldn't necessarily have to face, particularly as publicly as you might have to. Also a challenge?
Oh, absolutely. You know, one of the things that we did almost immediately after the executive order was passed was issue some stormwater regulations for the entire federal government. And when you think about the entire square footage of the entire federal government, you realize what type of impact we can actually have on our environment, particularly in our local communities as well.
I would think you'd have the biggest carbon footprint in, at least in D.C. I know you don't have any way of knowing that right now off the top of your head, but it's because you are so big.
We are so big, but I got to tell you, we've been working on some of these issues for several years, actually. And so I think we're, you know, when we're looking for projects literally across the agency, we're starting to find it's a little bit harder. I think we've taken care of the low-hanging fruit already. So now we're digging down a little bit deeper in terms of the agency, in terms of how are we going to find these energy reductions.
So you know to turn the lights off at night when you leave the office. You got that.
We've been turning those lights off. I think, what I mentioned earlier, where the biggest challenge is, will be changing behavior. You know, can we convince more people to take public transportation as opposed to cars? Can we figure out a way to reduce our travel? Video conferencing and taking advantage of some of those new technologies that will help us in the long run.
I want to ask about promising projects next. I know we've talked about the 10th Street Task Force or whatever it may ultimately be named. And I guess people can maybe email you with their suggestions if they want.
Mm-hmm.
But Bill, let's talk about some other promising projects that may be in the pipeline or maybe things you've seen elsewhere. Projects that may be underway or just starting to get born.
Right. One of the projects that our commission recently approved was the master plan for the Department of Homeland Security at St. Elizabeth's.
Ooh.
And as you may know, the Coast Guard headquarters is the first project from that master plan that is also approved. And that is has a lot of environmental benefits there. It's a full green roof. They have a wetland that they have built that will capture all of their stormwater runoff. And so we're seeing a lot of these individual buildings that come in now with very high LEED standards, and that may even be a gold LEED standard facility. Wow. I don't remember exactly for that. But so we are seeing a lot of these individual buildings doing that, and which sort of relates me back again to that 10th Street Task Force, is how do we look at these individual buildings to take that, move our thinking from how do we make individual buildings more environmentally sensitive to how do we make our planning and development, our communities, more environmentally sensitive.
So instead of going back and fixing the building, baking it in from the very beginning.
Right. So it'll become the way we plan and develop our communities as opposed to how retrofitting individual buildings or building individual buildings. I think a thought process that is changing among planners and developers on how we should be building our cities.
And the EPA's Craig Hooks, let's talk about promising projects that you have seen out there or that you've been working with. Anything come to mind off the top of your head?
Well, I think we obtain most of our greenhouse reductions actually in our laboratories. Mm-hmm. They tend to be, you know, energy hogs, quite frankly. It's much more difficult in an office setting. So every opportunity that we have to retrofit or recommission some of our labs, in addition to doing the repairs and infrastructure work, we also look for energy reduction opportunities in our laboratories. But we do some of the things that he just mentioned in terms of green roofs and LEED certification for some of our new leases when we move from one building to another. We're always trying to strive to push the environmental envelope.
Is it hard? Just briefly, is it really difficult to get from point A to point B when you do things like the green roofs and the capturing of the stormwater and that sort of thing?
Yeah, it is. It's probably harder than most people think. It really involves a lot of planning. Sometimes there's a lot of permits that are involved. There's a lot of people that need to be engaged in it for the sustainability aspect of it.
Back to that collaboration.
Absolutely.
Is it hard, do you think, Mr. Dowd?
Yeah, but I think, as Craig said, we're making progress. We have, I think, a lot of good people in the right positions. The General Services Administration, who's working close with us, Their public building service is now run by a gentleman named Bob Peck, who has been in that position before.
Mm-hmm.
And Bob is very sensitive to these matters and is really pushing GSA to move forward in that direction.
Let's talk about some best practices. You talk a lot about collaboration, which is so important and critical. Let's talk about what you have learned from others, what maybe they can learn from you, any best practices that you've been picking up along the way. And, Bill, I'm going to start with you.
Sure. Going back to our big project to be named, we looked around for best practices for eco-districts. And,
mm-hmm.
and actually, the concept is so new that we only found a handful of other cities or places that are looking at it, and it's still kind of a theoretical base. So,
in this country or everywhere?
Yeah, right. Yeah, pretty much in the country. So mm-hmm. it's kind of this relatively new concept. So we're hoping that we can model this in Washington, D.C. and become a best practice and to educate others. You know, we have 20 million people a year who come to Washington. We want them to see that Washington is developed and is a leader in some of these areas and take the information that they get here and go back to their home cities and implement some of these best practices.
Yeah, but because it's hard for a mandate an order to come from Washington and not be the leader. You have to walk the walk and talk the talk.
Right, and that's our goal here, to be a good role model for environmental sustainability.
Craig Hooks of EPA, best practices that you want to share?
Well, I think some of the things that I've just mentioned in terms of our stormwater guidance, that's certainly hopefully a best practice that all federal agencies are certainly adopting. Again, when you look at our original agency mission in terms of our greenhouse gas a reduction leadership, we need to demonstrate that at all times. Energy projects, we certainly have labs, but other federal agencies have labs as well. So there's a whole labs network, if you will, to look at energy reduction projects as well. And then one of the things that we're really starting to look at a lot more closely, and we'll have to delve in more detail because we're not there yet,
mm-hmm.
and that's a whole area of green procurement. You know, what are we purchasing as a federal government? And who are we purchasing it from? And what do their supply chains look like?
Oh, that'll be very interesting. And I wanted to touch on one last issue, and that is bottom line advice. There are some people who have looked at this executive order and they go, now what do I do? You each have a little less than a minute. So if you have a bottom line piece of advice for those who are listening today, what would that advice be?
I think for me it's going to be information sharing. At all aspects within the agency, from the top down and from the bottom up. You're going to need the top-down direction to set the policy, but you're going to need bottom-up engagement to change behavior because that's where the masses are. As long as there's constant information flow within the agency and then inter-agencies, I think we'll in the long run, this will be wildly successful.
I guess I would say that agencies ought to collaborate with each other and learn from what these other agencies are doing. We have so many headquarters agencies here in Washington that we should be learning from each other and not trying to reinvent the wheel through each agency.
Got to work together if you're going to make it work.
Absolutely.
Our thanks to Craig Hooks of the EPA and Bill Dowd with the National Capital Planning Commission. I'm Amy Morris, and thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to GovGreen, Sustainability in the Federal Government, sponsored by the Center for Environmental Innovation and Leadership on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. If you missed any portion of this show, you can listen to the show in its entirety and on demand at federalnewsradio.com.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWT FM HD2 Manassas. This is Federal News Radio, on the air at 1500 AM and online at federalnewsradio.com. The only radio station in the world dedicated to serving the federal executive and government contractor. It's our mission to provide news and information that helps federal managers do their job better and help facilitate the business of government. Federal News Radio talks to the people who make government work to build a sense of federal community, discuss best practices, and explore lessons learned. Every weekday from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Federal News Radio interviews federal newsmakers one-on-one to explain how their news affects agencies and contractors. Nights and weekends, WFED broadcasts all the action of Washington Nationals baseball, Washington Capitals hockey, the Navy midshipmen, George Washington Colonials, and American University Eagles basketball. Federal News Radio 1500 AM, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy athletics and your source for federal news now.
CNN Radio, I'm Jim Ribble. Top story this hour, a brother of one of the 11 men killed in the Gulf of Mexico.